Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, or so we're told, and told repeatedly by those who claim to only be anti-Zionist and not anti-Semitic. Anti-Zionism, of course, the opposition to the existence of the only Jewish state in the world. And we talk about the Eurovision Song Contest and how widespread the anger was at the fact that a representative of the Jewish state was allowed to participate in that. The FIFA World Congress was going to vote and postpone the vote about whether or not Israel should be allowed to continue to participate in international football competitions. Now, I've said in the past and stand by it that I don't like it when defenders of Israel say things like, why are you criticizing? Why are you protesting over Israel? Why aren't you protesting over Russia or Syria or whatever? Because that kind of implies that Israel is wrong, but not as wrong as those countries. And of course, I think Israel is very clearly on the good side, and the Palestinians are as clear as possible on the bad side. But in this case, I'm going to make an exception. In FIFA, you have every country in the world pretty much participating, representing their country in sporting and in football competition. No country is up for debate, and Israel is now up for debate, ironically, because the Palestinian Football Association demanded that. Palestinian Football Association made up of people who are members, Daniel, I think you'll elaborate on that later, of a terrorist organization. The countries backing this claim are countries, are dictatorships, are countries that violate the rights of their citizens as their kind of national sport. North Korea participated in the World Cup. I don't remember which year this was. Maybe it was 2010. I think, or two, I don't know. And they, this is all from memory. I haven't actually looked this up, but I watched that World Cup. They lost to Brazil 2-1, or something, but it was a very impressive result, for them. And then the next game was broadcast on North Korean, television live. Because they thought, look, our team, lost to Brazil 2-1. Maybe we're going to win the World Cup. And of course, Kim Jong Il, was it at the time, will score the winning goal in the final or whatever. But so the next game was broadcast. They lost to Portugal 7-0. And when they got back, the manager of the team was sentenced to hard labor for life. It's funny, but it's not funny. It shows you the horrors of countries like that. And nobody suggested North Korea shouldn't be a part of it. Israel is defending itself from savages, and those savages demand that Israel be ostracized from the international community in every way possible. And now this is coming up. And again, it wasn't as immediately successful as they had hoped. They had hoped that today there would be a vote and Israel would be out today. That didn't happen. That's gonna happen from that's possibly gonna happen sometime in the summer. But the very idea that this is a debatable issue should be shocking to people and is shocking at the very least to us. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 224 of the war in Israel. Daniel, your thoughts on this discussion?
So yeah, I don't follow football as much as you do, I think. But when I was researching the topic, I think it was really nice to see, really find out from ground up with no prior knowledge about everything. So I looked up, okay, what other countries were suspended? What is the standard here? How does FIFA work? You mentioned, every country is in the FIFA, but it's actually more than that. There is about like 196 countries, I believe, depending on how you settle all the recognitions. But there's about 220 teams in FIFA, and one of the examples of those of not internationally recognized country which is in FIFA is the Palestinian Football Association, which actually has two parts. It has the West Bank part and also the Gaza part. So Gaza has their own teams, has their own league, and both of them participate in the Palestinian Football Association. So I looked up, what other countries were suspended, and I found out it was about I think like six or seven countries were also suspended, but with all of them, it was some sort of government meddling in the football associations. So FIFA believes football associations should stay out of politics, should be separate. And we'll talk about the guy who is the head of the Palestinian Football Association later. But there is actually one other nation that has been suspended for not just some sort of government meddling, but for war, and it's Russia. I looked up first if something happened after the Crimean invasion. So, not really. I think there were some sort of sanctions, sports sanctions, but they weren't suspended, and they were actually allowed to host a FIFA World Cup in 2018, and that was, after the Crimean invasion. But after the full-on invasion of Ukraine, they were suspended and still are. So I think that's at least one good step from FIFA. But this proposal, Israel is not some sort of like invading country. Israel was invaded by another country or sort of a country that actually is in the FIFA, and no one is su suggesting to ban them. This sort of thing is crazy. Do you want to talk about the actual proposal and what the Palestinian Football Association thinks Israel should be banned for or
Yeah, but
suspended
I'll
for?
just say the equivalent for the Russia war would be banning Ukraine for that war, if you look at the idea that Israel should be banned. Yeah, I know one of the things the Palestinian Football Association produced all sorts of propaganda. One of the things they mentioned was the number of footballers killed in Gaza. You gotta love it when they say, here's a number of footballers or doctors or journalists. People can have a job or a career, and they moonlight as a terrorist, which many in Gaza do. So now they, of course, didn't get into that. I don't know the numbers of footballers who are actually terrorists or who are just, happy to be a part of the society that produces these terrorists, and may have been celebrating on the streets, may have not been celebrating on the streets, but in no place do they, of course, say, well, look at all these footballers who were killed. Maybe this is a reason to suspend Palestine from FIFA because they started this war that got all these footballers killed. That, of course, is not brought up by anybody. We're going to get into some of the I'll read some excerpts from an article in the Telegraph with some of the details here. But yeah, this is a very great example of just how wide-reaching the pro-Hamas, pro-savages side of this war is, and how widely accepted it is, unfortunately, even among seemingly civilized people.
The Palestinian Football Association put out this proposal to FIFA for suspending Israel. This proposal has been supported by Algeria, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Yemen. So, the pinnacles of Western civilized world. And in the thing, it was said, the reason for suspension was, among others, obviously, or the sort of the go-to for them is breaking international law. And an interesting point was also that Israel allows football teams in the Palestinian territories to participate in the Israeli Football League, which this might be my question for you. Are there like football teams from the Israeli settlements that actually participate in the? Because I have not. Unless they mean all of Israel is Palestinian territories, this is what I'm assuming, that they are like settlement football teams.
There's two Arab teams in the Israeli league and Arab players in non-Arab teams. But I'm gonna take a wild guess, even though I don't follow Palestinian football too closely. I'm gonna take a wild guess and say there are zero Jews who have played in any Palestinian team in all of its history. But no, that's not relevant to them because, of course, the people who would consider this proposal by the Palestinian Football Association even something worth discussing are probably people who would also say the settlements are an obstacle to peace, i.e., the fact that Jews there live in an area that people who hate Jews claim as theirs. That is the obstacle, and not the fact that people hate Jews for being Jews. So, yeah.
Also, we talked a lot about the Hamas numbers from the Gaza Health Ministry, but some much more interesting numbers are coming out from the Palestinian Association Leagues, who is claiming in the report that since the start of the Israeli war on Gaza, at least 39,000 civilians were killed in Gaza. And this doesn't mean just people in general, specifically civilians. Not even the Gaza Health Ministry goes as far as to say that, the 35,000 numbers they claim is civilians. They claim it's just everyone. They are specifically claiming it's civilians. So, Gaza Health Ministry gets their numbers from somewhere, but I would really like to hear where the Palestinian Football Association get there's number from, which are somehow higher than even the one fake number we have from the Gaza Health Ministry.
By the way, Christian, the teams you mentioned here in the chat that are big names in Israeli football don't include the team that is about to win the championship tomorrow. So there is a bigger name than all of those, but that's off topic. I a few months ago, I try to avoid pro-Hamas people and talking to them. A few months ago, I somehow ended up in a situation where there was one such person, and he starts shouting, and at some point he says that I think I don't know what the Hamas numbers were at the time, but he says 20,000 people died, and as things get heated and we're talking to each other in not a quiet voice, he at some point he says 40,000, and I said, wow, it just jumped. Like in the last few minutes, Israel killed another 20,000. But no, these people, they're so used to the fact that whatever they say, whatever they throw out there, people will believe because it's the poor Palestinians being slaughtered by the evil Jews, that they know it doesn't matter. Did anybody question him on that 39,000 figure and say, well, actually, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, even that's not the case.
And we should say this report is from March. It's not recent. They submitted it in March, so the actual numbers, even the Gaza Health Ministry numbers, would be much lower. So even when they claim, so out of these almost 40,000, they claim almost 15,000 were children. Again, this is not even according to Gaza Health Ministry data. So, and as you said, they are also claiming that 92 footballers have died. And so for a second, first, I thought maybe this number is including West Bank, that somehow 5,000 people or more than 5,000 people. But no, they actually have a separate statistics for West Bank. So yeah, I literally have no ideas when those numbers are from. But anything we should talk about before we go to the guy behind the Palestinian Football Association?
No, I mean we can read some of the Telegraph article, but I think that's less important. We're kind of discussing the things that are in it anyway. Just Clementine asks if it was in real life. Yeah, that was in real life. I really try to not find myself in such situations. It's not always avoidable here in London. They're everywhere, unfortunately. So but anyway.
So yeah, let's talk about the guy behind the Palestinian Football Association. So I'm gonna put his name in the chat and I'm gonna butcher his name, but it's not gonna be as bad as how many Jews he butchered. So I think it's Jibril Rajub, no idea. But so this guy, he has been the president of the Palestinian Football Association from about 2006. So, as the actual Palestinian Authority, they don't need any new leaders, that's enough. And he has been a part of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. He actually has been suspended many times. He, in one Hezbollah affiliated television network, he said that if Palestinian Authority, well, I'm gonna quote him exactly, but in the name of Allah, if we had nuclear weapons, we'd be using them. He also has been suspended in, I think this was, oh, in 2019 for glorifying terrorism, politicizing football, employing racist language when referring to Israelis, including comparisons to Satan and Nazis, and also encourage football competitions and teams to be named after convicted Palestinian terrorists. He also has been suspended for speaking out against Argentina, who suggested that we should play a friendly match in Israel. He also is a politician, he's a part of the government. So, earlier I talked about how many countries were suspended for the government trying to take over or take some control over their respective football association. Apparently, this guy is not politicized enough, and it's all okay with FIFA.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Yeah, by the way, when he says in the name of Allah we would use nuclear bombs, of course we've talked about this, especially in the context of the word genocide being used against Israel. The Palestinians are united in their desire to commit a genocide. The only thing that's preventing them is not having the ability to do that. And again, they say it no matter who they are. He says in the name of Allah, he is from Fatah, the nationalist, as opposed to Hamas, the Islamic theocrats. But you know, it's not a clear-cut line. You can be a bit of both, and he is clearly that. Yeah, you know, there's a I saw somewhere, it might have been in the article that we're gonna read some of, that FIFA, I think it was the president of FIFA, proudly said, you know, unlike the UN and so on, we have always treated Palestine like a country. Well, not really. I mean, the fact that they participate as a national team in international competitions, in that sense, you treat them like a country. But in the sense that when you know, countries do things, you judge them on that, you have not treated them as a country, because you know, what they're doing would not be acceptable. Again, unless you think there should be a special rule when it comes to killing, if the killing is of Jews, otherwise there is no explanation of how you know, the Palestinians are considered legitimate within FIFA.
Also, I should mention he was part of the first Intifada. He was actually in Fatah for decades now. He has been, so he was, I think, deported, and he was allowed to return after the Oslo Accords. So another achievement of that is getting this guy back in. You're muted.
Yeah, so let me read a little bit from this article. It's from earlier today. FIFA will hold an urgent meeting to decide if Israel should be thrown out of world football over its response to the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks. Gianni Infantino has announced. Infantino confirmed the governing body would carry out a quote, legal assessment of the matter following a proposal submitted by the Palestine Football Association for inclusion on the agenda for its annual Congress in Bangkok this week. The proposal, which was backed by the football associations of Algeria, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Yemen, was not put to a vote of FIFA member associations this Friday, with Infantino revealing that it would be decided upon at an emergency meeting of the organization's council in late July. Now, for those not really following football closely, there's a European Championship next month. That's organized by UEFA, the European governing body of football. And then the World Cup takes place in 2 years in the summer in the US, Canada, and Mexico. And the qualifiers for that start, I believe, in September, this coming September. So the draws for that should also happen sometime soon. And, Israel could actually, it could get to a point where Israel is not a part of that. By the way, if Israel is kicked out of FIFA, I can only imagine that UEFA would follow suit. And, this would be another one of those steps that are being taken towards delegitimizing Israel in every way possible and legitimizing, even if they say that they don't want to do this and this is not their goal, legitimizing by extension hatred of Jews and ultimately violence against Jews elsewhere. This I think I saw Frank mentioned somewhere in the chat something about the Olympics, which we've talked about before, and of course we'll talk about some more. Jews, it's going to be open season on anybody there who is visibly Jewish as the officer, or openly Jewish, or certainly openly supporting Israel. And I'm sure it will be condemned by the organizers, but then again, if you condemn something but say that you understand it, you're not really condemning it. You are making it happen.
Talking about the Black Olympics, sorry, not Black Olympics, talking about the Olympics, I was referring to Black September and I mixed them up. This guy has also attended a boxing match, made it honor of, I think, someone associated with the Black September. So yeah, I mean, the whole fact that you have someone like him on, as the head of the Palestinian Football Association, and that he's allowed, he's been suspended a couple of times, but it never went as far as to getting rid of him as a job, or threatening kicking out or suspending the Palestine, as it ref as FIFA refers to it, from FIFA, is really putting a lot of suspicion on the on such an organization. I mean, we've talked about the and I believe that was also FIFA, right? Qatar, when that happened.
Oh yeah. Oh, the corruption in FIFA is its own story. Yeah, the World Cup. I don't remember when it was announced. It was maybe 2014 or something like that, that they announced on the same day the two World Cups, 2018 and 2022, would take place in Russia and in Qatar. And of course, like you had options. We've talked here about the idea of it being in Qatar. Leaving aside the fact that Qatar should not be considered a legitimate country, the idea of having it in Qatar in terms of the existing infrastructure and what making a World Cup happen would take compared to most countries in Europe, France, Germany, the UK, Spain, all have existing infrastructure that if you started a World Cup tomorrow, it would not be difficult. They have the stadiums, they have hotels, they have travel options. In the US, I don't think they're building any stadiums for the World Cup in 2 years. They don't need to. So yeah, it was of course ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous when FIFA is in a unique situation corruption wise because they're not they're not a government body, so they can get away with corruption much more easily, and they do, and they let themselves do that. England was competing. I don't remember if it was for one of these World Cups, but was competing for some World Cup and got like two votes, which and this was in part because in England, I think it was the Sun newspaper did an expose on the corruption in FIFA, and this was a middle finger from the corrupt officials in FIFA to Britain. Like, you think you writing about us in the paper, you think we care if people know we do this, we get away with it, and nothing is going to happen, so why should we care? And yeah, now shockingly, they Yeah, they're wanting to kick out Israel. Thank you, PC, for the super chat. PC says they should hold a World Cup in Israel one day. Well, I think Israel has probably more ready facilities for something like that than Qatar did when they were elected. But yeah, that'll be a difficult that'll be a day to see. But Israel's biggest stadiums have 30,000 seats, so that also is not likely to happen. Yeah, Daniel.
And you know, for those thinking that 2 votes is very little, it's still more than UK got in the Eurovision when it comes to the popular votes. But yeah, I mean, what I want to finish about it? I mean, there is something weird about this, like large organizations, you know, trying to include everyone. And you know, I think even when I read about this story, there's been statements from the Gianni Infantino about how, you know, football and FIFA shouldn't be about politics. It should be about bringing people together. It should be about peace. It should be, you know, just about the sport. But I think trying to do something and trying to again have this like inclusive view of the world to the point of like everybody is equal, I think is really dishonorable, not just I think to the sport itself. I mean, there is a certain thing we should expect from countries and from people, even when it comes, you know, to sports organization. And again, when you include countries such as North Korea, as you said, who punish the either footballers of the or the managers of their team, I don't think such countries should be part of any sort of sport that promotes that tries to promote speed promote peace, or an organization that tries to promote peace. So I think the same problem that comes with the United Nations when you try to put these nations as equal, and you are automatically destroying the good nations and are putting on a pedestal the evil dictatorships. I think in a similar way, when you have this football association that tries to include everyone, you are ultimately destroying good nations such as Israel, and putting dictatorships and you know, people like Jibril Rajoub on as equal to everyone else.
Well, I know this is off topic, but it is kind of a football topic, so I can't really resist. Christian says, Razi, I should have named Maccabi Tel Aviv as well. Yes, you should have. But I only saw Hapoel Tel Aviv once. I'm guessing you mean Hapoel Tel Aviv live in European Cup. Well, you're not going to see them anytime soon because last week they were relegated to the second tier of Israeli football. Almost as happy a day as tomorrow when Maccabi wins the league. I think somehow that is as positive a note as we can end this show on. And also a very positive thing is on the reality show that follows this show, we have Ben Baer of the Ayn Rand Institute. He will be joining us to discuss the question, are there innocent civilians in Rafah? From what we hear, there are probably more innocent civilians than there are people there. But we will find out soon. Join us for that. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And yeah, we're going to see you in a couple of minutes.